Hey, hello again. It's myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Weekly Podcast. Podcast coming from Miles McKee Ministries. It's great to have you with us today. I want to, in the few moments we have, I want to give you six gospel mercies. Six gospel mercies. Now, if you were to look in the Bible at Romans 12:1, you would read there, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it's only reasonable to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And he says this, look, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Well, what are the mercies of God? Well, if you were to read the first 11 chapters of Romans, you'd see the mercies of God. Excuse me. Oh, boy. So what are these mercies? Well, I'm going to give you a few of them today. They're related to the gospel. All these mercies are, and there's so many of them. Let me ask you a wee question. Would you like, okay, would you like to enjoy victorious living? You would. Well, it's found as a result of believing and applying the gospel. For the believer, true, guilt-free, victorious living can only be realized through continual exposure to gospel truths. Now, far from being merely for the unsaved, the gospel is actually the essential message for every believer. Alas, in this day and age of formulas and the quick fix, gosh, this truth is missing from many of our pulpits. However, as the gospel is preached, applied, and its mercies understood, God's people will begin to walk in the freedom and joy of their so great salvation. So we want to look briefly at a number of gospel mercies which flow out of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Well, gospel mercy number one is forgiveness. Oh, what a precious word, forgiveness. The first gospel mercy we want to consider is total forgiveness for every sin. Who has that? We have, believers have that. Those who have trusted in Christ have the total forgiveness for every sin. We read that through this man, that's Jesus, through this man Jesus is preached unto you forgiveness of sins. Acts 13:38. Our forgiveness was bought and paid for at the cross. Ephesians 1:7. God said it. That settles it. I believed it. That settled me. Forgiveness is a mercy, and we take it by sheer faith. No one ever saw God blotting out our sins, but we believe it has been done because God said it. And thus we learn to take the Lord at his word, the vapors of guilt will disseminate and disappear. Well, you say, but I don't feel forgiven, Brother McKee. Well, I'm reminded of Luther. He was asked if he felt he was forgiven, if he felt his sins were forgiven, to which he replied, no, he says, I don't feel that, but I'm sure that they are. Get thee behind me, Satan. In other words, he was resting his assurance on the word of God. You may be the feeblest believer who ever walked the face of the earth, but if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have received forgiveness, and Christ had obtained that forgiveness for you, and you have received it if you're a believer. We hear these wonderful things about forgiveness. The Lord has put our sins behind his back. Isaiah 38:17. What? Yeah, behind his back. Here's another one. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. My goodness, that's amazing. Yes, it's amazing. But do we believe it? It's wonderful. Listen. to know that our sins are forgiven, but it's even better to know that they're forgotten. Hebrews 10 verse 17 says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God will not remember your sins. Wow. Listen, if God has forgotten our sins, what are we doing digging them up again and remembering them and living on them, dwelling in them, defining our life by our failures that we've taken to God? Oh, the wisdom of this world says, blessed is the man who is rich and powerful. But the wisdom of the Lord says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes not iniquity and in whose spirit is no guile. Psalm 32, verses 1 to 2. Now here's another gospel mercy. It's that we are, number two, we're accepted as righteous. The second gospel mercy is that we have acceptance and we are treated as being righteous. Now, not just innocent, we are righteous. We are accepted in heaven in Jesus Christ with his righteousness. His very righteousness is put onto us. So this is a wonderful gospel benefit whereby God looks at us and says, we've never committed those sins. Hey, Miles McHugh, you didn't commit those sins. So he said, no. I see in my flesh, I said, no, I am a terrible sinner. Listen, God doesn't treat me that way. Doesn't treat you that way. He looks at us and he says, hey, you've never committed those sins in the first place. We have been acquitted of all charges. That's justification. Acquitted of all charges. And Christ's righteousness has been reckoned to us. This is like getting our past expunged and being given a totally new identity. Are you listening? It's like being put into a witness protection program that is 100% secure. Well, since all things are now new, we've no time to run around the place feeling guilty. What do you have to feel guilty about? All the rotten things you've done, all the rotten things I've done, are under the blood. They're forgiven, they're forgotten, they're buried, they're done away with, they're thrown into the sea. You know, we believers used to be under a curse as lawbreakers. Galatians 3:10, check it out. But now Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse. Oh, Lord Jesus. He's been made a curse for us at the cross. Oh, that's stunning. Galatians 3:13. Now God reckons us as being righteous. And that's why we read in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ is made unto us righteousness. Listen, get absorbed in this truth and guilt will never take a hold of you. Bathe yourself in the knowledge that all your guilt and sin was charged to Christ Jesus and that all his righteousness was reckoned as being yours. Listen, we can never hear enough of this glorious message of the gospel. But I'm going to move on. Gospel message number three. Gospel message, why do I keep saying message? Gospel mercy, number three. What is it? It's adoption. Listen, it's good to be forgiven and accepted as righteous, but it's good, even better with that. To say it's even better, that's like an understatement. But it is even better to be made a child of God. And that's exactly what happens to us as a result of the gospel. We are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Check it out, Galatians 3:26. And as his children, the Father loves us just the same way he loves Christ. And we don't have to make God love us, try to make him love us, work hard to make him love us. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Well, the reason it's hard to believe is because we know what we're really like. If we had a chance, we'd punish ourselves. But a child doesn't have to cajole its parent into being loving. No, a good parent doesn't have to be cajoled. It's not therefore a presumption for you to say and to keep saying, God loves me. The fact is, he's crazy about me. I say that. What do you mean say it? Do you think it? No, I say it. I say it. I say gospel truths. Affirm the gospel to my own thinking. How often? Once a week? No, continually. Oh, a child doesn't have to cajole a good parent into love. God loves me. God loves you, the believer. It's hard for us to believe it, isn't it? We've taken a good look at ourselves and found that there's not too much to love in there. And too often we don't feel love because we feel we are unlovable. Many of us have what they call an orphaned heart. Yeah, listen to that, an orphaned heart. But the more we know of the gospel, the more we will realize that we don't have to feel loved. We need to stop trying to feel his love and instead begin to believe his love. We are his children. We are in Christ and we are loved. Confess this. Claim it. Believe this gospel mercy and begin to enjoy life. Now, before we move on, just let me finish this section with a wee scripture. It's 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. It's wonderful, isn't it? But here's another gospel message, gospel mercy. It's number 4. Because of the gospel, we get a new heart. That's what the theologians called regeneration. Regeneration, by the way, is neither a process nor an improving of the old nature. In the Old Testament, the Lord prophesied through Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Wow! That's amazing, isn't it? A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. Yes, please, Lord. You see, God invades us by the Holy Spirit and makes people who were spiritually dead, he makes them spiritually alive. How come you came alive to God? It's because of the work of the Holy Spirit. How come you have faith generating when you hear the word of God? That's the Holy Spirit at work. God invades us with the Holy Spirit. And not only does he generate new life in us, but he continues to work within every believer, both to will and to do God's pleasure. Philippians 2, 12 to 13. He will cause us to know his will, to love God's will, and to do his will. He puts his laws into our hearts and writes them in our minds. Hebrews 10:18. And all this is a wonderful gospel mercy. As followers of the Lamb, we don't have to work up a feeling of spirituality or need to feel guilty when we think it's absent. But what we need to do is, by faith, enter into gospel rest and trust the Holy Spirit to draw us out of ourselves to behold the glories of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The new heart has brought us alive unto God and the gospel, and the Holy Spirit is now resident within us and causing faith to grow in response to the word. The Holy Spirit brings alive such promises as, there is now, therefore, no condemnation, no damnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. He makes everything real to us. I've got to move along and give you gospel mercy number 5. Then that's it. Through the gospel, we get it. Because of the gospel, we get the spirit of repentance. Acts 5:31, it says this, him, Christ, Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. What's he give? He gives forgiveness of sins. But what else? He gives us repentance. According to the scripture, repentance is a gift. And what wonderful gifts God gives. He gives us repentance to come to Christ, but he continues to give us that spirit of repentance. Believers are repenters. Yeah. And as we grow and mature in Christ, we find out a whole lot more that we need to be repentant of. In fact, it's usually after that we come to Christ that we find out what true repentance is. Indeed, it's only after we begin to grow in God that we discover what sin really is. I love the old story about the old woman who said to the ministry, he was shaking hands at the door, people going out. And she said, Pastor, we didn't know what sin was till you came to this church. I think not. But thank God for his gift of repentance. It always leads us to the throne of grace where we confess our sins to Jesus, our faithful high priest. Because somebody say amen. Listen, if we have sinned, what's the point in killing ourselves with the guilt of our actions? Some people beat themselves over and over again because of past failures. However, that's oftentimes just another form of self-righteousness, whereby they're saying, see, Lord, look how sorry I am. See, I'm beating myself. Take note of this and forgive me because I'm really repenting here. Oh, how stupid, how foolish it is to try to impress God with our repentance. Take everything to the blood. Beloved, your failures, take them to the blood. Your sins, take them to the blood. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. But here, I'm going to leave you with a gospel mercy number 6. And that is everlasting life. We get out of the gospel, we get everlasting life because of the gospel. Everlasting life. We're not given life for a day or life for a month, life for a year, but everlasting life. John 6:47, verily, verily, that means truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. You have it already. You've got it already. Has everlasting life. You're not sure? Listen, what the word of God, it's reliable. The word is truly, truly, I say, he that believeth on me, he that trusts on me, has everlasting life. And then there's, he that believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. It has been argued that the term everlasting life also includes the idea of a certain quality of life, and that's true. Here we see that part of this quality is the absence of condemnation. If you are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Romans 8:1, there's no damnation. That's another word of saying condemnation. Romans 8:1. If you are in Christ, there is no reason for you to be plagued by guilt. Dear believer, embrace the gospel and its mercies. Start living outside yourself and start setting your affections on things above, or your affection, singular, on things above where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. That Christ is not sitting on a literal right hand. That term, the right hand, means cosmic authority, all authority. Christ is seated at the right hand. See Colossians 3:1-4. These are just some of the many gospel mercies. Forgiveness, accepted as righteous, adopted into the family of God, a new heart, a spirit of repentance, eternal life. Look, if we embrace these things, they'll revolutionize and transform our life. Preaching, however, devoid of the gospel and urging us to try harder, try harder, try harder. In reality, that kind of preaching only brings guilt and death. And right standing with God has nothing whatsoever to do with how we behave. Did you hear that? Right standing with God is altogether by the blood of Christ. Oh, Brother McKee, that's dangerous. That's dangerous message. Yeah, it is dangerous. Some people will abuse that. I will accept that. But you know what are dangerous? Trees are dangerous and oceans are dangerous. Trees are dangerous. Oh my goodness, my cousin out there in Canada a few years ago was killed by a broken, breaking off branch. It had been snowing, it was snowing heavily. She and her family were out for a walk and the branch broke just beside them, fell on her, killed her instantly. Yeah, trees are dangerous. Oceans, seas are dangerous. Boats can sink in the ocean. I remember my father. His best friend was a fellow school teacher called James Gunn, and his wife Mary went down for, she was drowned in the tragedy of the Princess Victoria in the Irish Sea. Yeah, seas can be dangerous. So what's the answer? Drain the seas, drain the Irish Sea, drain the oceans, cut down all the trees? No. I'll say it again. Okay, some people all misunderstood and misused this. But right standing with God is altogether by the blood of Christ. Right standing with God has nothing whatsoever to do with how we behave. Oh, let this truth sink into you and you will, you'll be victorious. You will never be made more righteous than the blood of Christ has already made you today. You will never be more accepted than you are already in the Beloved One. Works could not get you into right standing with God, and your failings cannot get you out. Peace with God and freedom from all condemnation can only be obtained and maintained in the gospel. The gospel or hymn writer got it correct. He got it right when she penned the following words. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the sin within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my guilty soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and acquit me. Now the original verse says, pardon me. But we're acquitted, not just pardoned. When you're pardoned, somebody's pardoned, they did the crime. But we're acquitted. We didn't do it. So to look on him, to look on Jesus and acquit me, and that is the gospel truth. Thank you so much for listening. If this has been of help to you, send it out to your friends. Absolutely. If anybody wants to talk to me, I'm Miles, M-I-L-E-S, Miles at Miles McKee. com. Yeah, Miles McKee, that's my name. And if I can help you, listen, maybe you're struggling with your faith, put your trust in Jesus. Eternal life is yours by faith. Put your trust in Jesus. But look, if I can help you, Miles at MilesMcKee.com. Bless you. Bye for now.